Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score. It's a big start tonight for John Lester, and you can watch it one place right here on NBC Sports Chicago. Cubs in the Berg tonight to start a four-game series with the Buccos. Len Casper, JD, Jimmy DeShays have the call at 6. It's day two of the Bears-Broncos joint practices, no pun intended, which means another day for Mitchell Trubisky to face one of the best defenses in the NFL. How much will he play Saturday, and how much will the first-team offense improve in their latest preseason tilt? And Michael Kopech returns to the bump tonight. How many more starts will he make this season? Will they all be at AAA? And speaking of Sox pitchers, where the Southsiders are contending, will Carlos Rodon be their number one ace? And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a really good day. I'm David Kaplan. Let's meet the panel for today's show. You hear him on the air. You also hear him with me in the mornings over at ESPN 1000. He's our guy, Chris Bleck. Mark Carmen, fansided.com at WGN Radio and the White Sox Radio Network. And Scott Merkin. He's the hardest working member of the Merkin family, and you hear him, MLB.com, and covers the White Sox beat.
Take the compliment.
It is a compliment.
I know.
That guy's a hard worker, man.
He is.
Okay, we have baseball tonight here on NBC Sports Chicago. As John Lester will go to the post. Cubs and Pirates open a four-game series at PNC Park. I keep saying to you, take them one at a time. There's still 43 games to go. But there is no doubt that this is a big start for John Lester.
Absolutely. He hasn't pitched well since the All-Star break. He needs some rest. He's not going to get it tonight. He's got to go out for the Cubs and actually be the ace the Cubs need heading towards this stretch run. Big series. I know the two-game set with the Brewers was not as big as you may say it is, because every day is the same day, right, Cap? But you have the Pirates for four.
This is live right now as he walks out to get ready for his start tonight.
You got to make some noise here. Start putting some space between the Cardinals and the Brewers. You can start tonight by a great performance by John Lester.
So here's what's bothering me about the narrative on John Lester right now. Everyone's saying that, see, the nerds got it right. And no, if you were actually just watching John Lester and didn't look at the stats, you saw that I don't exactly know how he's getting everybody out. It wasn't like he was overpowering, but all you had to do was watch him. So I think a little regression was obviously going to come. But I also think you bet on John Lester as the games get more important, right? So however he was doing it earlier in the year, I expected
And the velocity has ticked up, so it's not like he's pitching tired.
Right.
You know, you guys see these guys more than I do, but do you have a read on this team yet? It seems to, every time you seem like, you know, Sunday's game, good Lord, I mean, how much more momentum can you get than a walk-off grand slam by one of the great stories on the team this year? And then they come out Tuesday and play one of their worst games of the year.
Right. And then out yesterday against a guy in Junior Guerra who usually dominates them.
Right.
ERA was microscopic against the Cubs, and they rough him up.
Junior Guerra, former White Sox guy.
There you go.
I mean, is it hard? I almost think, like, you know, they've been to three straight LCSs. They won the World Series in 16. Is the regular season almost, and it shouldn't be because it's very competitive, almost boring to them? Or they know what they have to do when October 1st comes and they say, yeah, they've checked it off.
Better make sure you're there October 1st.
Exactly. Absolutely.
It's also a completely different pitching staff, right? The quality starts have something to do with the fact that the momentum never really picks up for this team, you know? And that's why we go back to Lester. Lester needs to be good tonight because Hendricks was good last night. Let this carry through, right?
To me, this sort of feels like the 08 Cubs, which there was just a lot of luck around that team, and they won a ton of games. Now, this is also a team that won a World Series. We've got there's a lot more seasoned and young talent in all of it. But it's like, who's, when you project it out in the playoffs, is it really going to be Javi hitting third and Jason Hayward's going to hit fourth? Are they going to put Rizzo there? I guess at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. But then you got back to the pitching, Chris. Like, who's your number one? I assume it's John Lester. But then again, I mean, who knows how the rest of the 6 weeks will go? It's still, there's a lot that needs to be defined. And Cap, we were talking yesterday. I mean, what's Darvish going to be? What's Morrow going to be? What's Bryant going to be? If you have all three, I think you feel pretty comfortable. If you don't, then I don't think you feel very comfortable at all.
But on the flip side of that, can you look at it positively and say, today's August 16th. They're three games up on a Milwaukee team that's actually been pretty proactive, adding on to push towards the postseason
without
Darvish. Right, exactly. But without Darvish, without Morrow now for a little bit, and Chris Bryan, you know, since he had the concussion, really, and then the shoulder problem, has not, you know, been Chris Bryan. And you're still three games up and have the best record in the National League.
And five up in the loss count.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's the flip side, the positive side of it. Even with the team that's, like you said, the starting pitching has been a little suspect and not consistent, not being able to carry the momentum, they're still the best team by record in the National League.
Absolutely, and the offense has been great. I know that runners in scoring position has been an issue with this team, but basically if you go down the stat list on the offense, everything else is one of the best offensive teams in all of baseball. So, yeah, we're kind of being nitpicky with all of this, but I think we all expect so much more from this team than just kind of winning a division and being one and out in the playoffs, right? Like, isn't the whole point of all of this is that you have to collect as many championships as you can within before 2021?
Well, that's what you hear on the South side. You know, I mean, they're rebuilding. They're in the earlier stages of this, obviously, but you hear about the focus is for multiple championships. And I'm sure that's, you know, the same thing with Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer on the North side. 2016 was an unbelievable year, you know, unforgettable year. But they didn't want just one. Just like the Great Bears teams back in the Ditka days, they didn't want just one. And, you know, that's what they're trying to – you're right. They're trying to push for more than just, hey, we made the playoffs
especially
for the fourth,
fifth
year.
This core hits free agency.
Exactly.
And also, I just, like, look, I think, like, for Cub fans, it's, you got to sit back a little bit here. 2015, you go to the NLCS. 2016, you win the World Series. 2017, you go to the NLCS. 2018, most likely you're going to be in the playoffs, and who knows? And you look at the National League, they got a great chance. You know, the American League is obviously stacked. But, I mean, you got to – I don't know if there's enough enjoyment going on.
You only got to beat one of those American League.
And I'm going to ask Len Casper this question because he's going to join us now. I keep saying this to my friends. This is the golden age of Cubs baseball in our lifetime. Enjoy it because there's going to be a day, Len, where it isn't like this. You get this great young core. It's like the Beatles are on the road with you in Pittsburgh. Do you think people realize the era of Cubs baseball, it's never, ever been like this and may never again?
No, I agree with you. I think when you're in the middle of it, you tend to go day to day, and if your team wins, you feel good. If they lose, you feel bad. But I think when it's all said and done, we will definitely look back at this era of Cubs baseball as the best in the history of the franchise, no question about it.
Let's talk about John Lester. He goes to the post tonight, and the velocity numbers as we looked at him, it's not like he's throwing 86 all of a sudden. The velocity's actually held steady and been very good. Where are you on John Lester as he goes into this start, which is a big one for him?
Well, he admitted he's probably trying to throw too many fastballs and cutters when he gets into trouble, and I think we might see some more off-speed stuff if he's been hurt on the curveball or the changeup. And I think you can say this, Cap, for a lot of the starting staff. Jose Quintana, I think, would be a part of that, kind of working away from his changeup when he gets hurt with that. And I think Jim Hickey is trying to get his guys to continue to use all of their pitches and not necessarily get worried if you get beat on a pitch. It doesn't mean that you can't use it later on in the game. Quintana in particular, talking with Hickey and with Joe Maddon the last couple of days, they didn't think Jose was that bad the other day, threw two bad curveballs. They got bludgeoned by Ryan Braun, but he had some quick 1-2-3 innings, and they believe he's trending in the right direction. It would be nice to have John Lester go out and have a nice outing numbers-wise tonight, maybe to help his confidence, because they're going to need him for sure down the stretch and hopefully into October.
How about the offense? We've seen Anthony Rizzo at the top. Yesterday he moves down in the order and comes through with a home run in the first inning. Where are you on the offense that's been somewhat up and down at times?
Yeah, it has. I think the overall has been really good. The Cubs have been able to sustain without Chris Bryant here the last few weeks. In terms of where everybody bats, I think that's probably overrated. And if Rizzo had let off yesterday, the Cubs probably still would have won. Baez has been a little bit on a downturn here lately. Almora, Happ, Schwarber, Russell. I mean, there's a lot of guys right now who have been slumping to a degree. But Rizzo's been good. Jason Hayward has been pretty good. Contreras has been a little up and down, too. So, you know, what's happened here lately is you've had a lot of guys kind of go into the same three for their last 20, and I think that's why they've had trouble scoring runs. And thank goodness for David Bodie. I think in a lot of ways, David Bodie and Cole Hamels here the last 2 weeks have been an absolute godsend for this team. I don't know where they would be without those two guys.
All right, last one. You look at this series. The Cubs have, I think, their next 13 are against teams that are under 500. I keep saying relax and take it one pitch at a time, yet this next 13 games is a chance to really do some damage, correct?
Sure, and I think for me, I look, Cap, at that big four-city road trip that starts with the makeup game in Atlanta at the end of the month. Three in Philadelphia, you might have to face Jake Arrieta. Three in Milwaukee, you know how big a series that will be. And then four at Washington, and at the moment it looks like the Nationals are cratering a little bit. But that's the big road trip where if you can get through that and you're still in pretty good shape, I think you feel really good about the Cubs' chances here. I'm most curious about this weekend in St. Louis. The Cardinals play the Nationals tonight, but will Milwaukee still be in second place come next Monday or Tuesday? I think that'll be pretty fascinating to watch.
Len, have a great broadcast, buddy. We'll talk to you. Thanks again.
Sounds good, David. Thank you.
All right, there he is, Len Casper. He and JD will be on the call coming up top of the hour. All right, here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. If the postseason started today, who would you start in game one? You going Lester? You going Hamels? You going Hendricks? Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Who are you starting?
I'm going to go with Kyle Hendricks because previous years in the playoffs, he showed up for you, especially in a game seven. And I think now that he is kind of fixing his mechanics and back to what we've seen from Hendricks, I would trust him in game one.
I'm going with John Lester. I got to go with the most experienced. I still don't trust that Hendricks is all the way back. And I can't give it to Cole Hamels. Way too small a sample size.
See, I'm going to go Cole Hamels. I like, you know, what he's done in the past. And I think he's got something to play for now with the Cubs, and I think it was that kind of push he needed. Kyle Hendricks is a great choice, too. I mean, we've seen what he's done in big playoff games in the past, but I would go Cole Hamels right now.
Yeah, I have a story that's going up at NBCSportsChicago.com later tonight along with accompanying video. In talking with an advanced scout who studied a lot of Kyle Hendricks' starts, he believes he is trending up and that he has been fixed, as he put it. He said, you look at a couple of adjustments, he looks like the guy from 16-17 as opposed to the guy that struggled the first half of 18. We'll see if that trend continues.
I hope that is correct, Cappy, for all
Cub
fans.
Well, if that's the key, he was steady as she goes when he was pitching well. So you could always rely on him to give you at least 6-7. You knew that at the start of a playoff game, he wasn't going to implode in the first or second inning.
Correct.
You were going to get a chance
right.
to be in that game, and that's why I think it's so valuable. If he is back to what we've seen, that's outstanding for the Cubs.
And that's what they're kind of missing, right? They're missing the guys going deep into the game and giving the bullpen a night or two or even three off at a time.
All right. Yu Darvish will make his first rehab start since his latest injury on Sunday. Theo Epstein said they have him penciled in for three rehab starts. If those go well, he should be returning to the Cubs rotation the first week in September. That's like acquiring a number two starter, if and only if it works.
That's an optimistic take, Cappy, that he's going to be a number two starter. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. Maybe he'll get through the three rehab starts feeling good, and then maybe something will crop back up. I think the way the Cubs are going about it, saying, hey, we're not going to write him off, and we're not going to write him in, and we'll see what happens. I mean, that's the only way you can play it from here, but it's I think it's huge they went on got Hamels.
All right, Mitchell Trubisky spent training camp facing a top 10 defense. Now he's practicing against a top three unit. How much improvement will Mitch see Saturday night against the Broncos?
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world. Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
All right, we're back with our postcards from camp. It's always brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. For the second straight day, the postcards are sent from Colorado. Bears and Broncos wrapped up joint practices. Things got a little feisty when Anthony Miller got involved in a scuffle during a drill. And then DeAndre Hall got mixed up in a scuffle. No punches were thrown. Meanwhile, Mitchell Trubisky getting ready for his second outing of the preseason against a Denver defense that finished third in the NFL last year in yards per game. This is a really good opportunity for Mitchell Trubisky because I would think he'll get at least a quarter's worth of action.
Yeah, and hopefully we can see him command the offense, make some smart decisions, spread the ball around, and look like an efficient quarterback. I don't think anyone's expecting him to go out there and light the world on fire, but I think we want to see him just go out there, run the offense like Matt Nagy wants it to be run, get out clean, and move on to the next game.
I mean, it'd be nice if he had some protection, which we didn't see in game one. And for me, he's got to play a half. The whole offense needs to be out there. Enough with the 2-for-4 after two games in the preseason. I understand that you don't want to get the guy hurt at that point when you don't have your number ones out there. But I'd like to see Trubisky play, get his footing, and then you have one more to do, and you're not going to play him in game four. So I think there's a lot of work to be done. I think it's pretty clear.
I kind of like, just from what I've seen of him, the presence he brings out there. And I think he's kind of trying to, even though he doesn't have a ton of experience past last year, with this new system that Coach Nagy's putting in, trying to kind of put his own imprint on there. And not, you know, overstepping his line, but showing that he's the guy, good or bad right now, he's the one kind of running the show offensively.
We're going to see Roquan Smith Saturday night?
I don't know why you would do that. I mean, that's crazy.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Because why would you? He's set out for a month.
Why wouldn't you?
He's a football player, for crying out loud.
The guy, he hasn't been practicing. You're going to throw him? That's not a position where he needs to actually learn a ton. Let him actually go through a week of practice, not competing against the Broncos.
Maybe we shouldn't let him practice yet. For heaven forbid, he might get hurt there.
Cap was the kid that found the Christmas presents a month early and started ripping them open. He can't just let Roquan ease his way into camping. Well, okay, all right. You get the analogy, Cappy, all right? You know what's up.
You can put him in there for a little bit, though, just to get a kind of a read?
Give him a good 15, 20 plays and just let him get used to the speed of the game.
Look, play him in game three, play him in game four. He just got here. I would not put him out 5 days after he signed. You sat for 29 days. Good for you. You got whatever deal you're going to get. We're not going to just to throw him out there and say we're all set. No way.
Would you play him, Merck?
I'd put him out there. Like you said, I'd put him out there for a little bit. I mean, I don't think while he was holding out, he was just sitting at home watching reruns of Silver
Spoons. 21 years old.
Like
he's
that.
A
yeah,
beast.
Yeah, I mean, he's a
– he's in shape.
Yeah, I think he can do it.
No rush. Merck and I haven't agreed on one thing. I'll show. I appreciate that.
All right. Michael Kopech is the White Sox future. Carlos Rodon is the White Sox present. Will he end up being the Sox ace, though, when the Southside rebuild has them in the playoffs? Plus, Ronald Acuna Jr. is okay. This guy who beamed him might be even better off.
Are you a White Sox authentic fan? We want to hear from you. Every authentic fan night, we designate one winner as the fan of the game, which includes tickets to the game, meet and greets, plus an authentic game day experience. Enter for your chance to win at NBCSportsChicago.com/WhiteSoxAF.
All right, the White Sox have a guy named Michael Kopech. We'll get to him in a second. Here is breaking news that Ronald Acuna Jr. had a scan today, had x-rays last night. He's okay after Jose Urena hit him at 97.5 miles an hour, the fastest pitch of his career, right in the elbow. Why? Because Acuna took the Marlins deep three consecutive games. He had homered in five straight games, but three straight leading off. Six games for Jose Urena, which I think is a joke. He could have broken that kid's arm, who's one of the bright young stars in the game. He basically misses one start, Mark.
Well, I think it's possibly because he's playing tonight, right? So maybe they're letting him go. I will say, out of that whole thing, bravo to Brian Snitker. What a great job he did handling that. His comments afterwards were like, kind of, they moved you. You know, I mean, and already you forget how good that Atlanta team is this year. They're a game behind the Cubs, I think, for the best record in the National League.
Yeah, they're really good.
Snitker really handled that well, and he said, "This is my kid. You're not going to go after him."
The whole thing was so silly, right?
Yes, like, agreed.
You want to stop the opposing player, so instead of trying to beat him on the field with skill, you're out there trying to hurt him. It's a cheap shot, and he should have been suspended longer than six games, the one start. I mean, it's just completely silly, and things like this irritate me about baseball because it's stupid.
There's
no need for it.
Right, there's nothing worse than old-school baseball.
Yeah.
You can't have a bat flip. Oh, that bothers
unwritten
me.
Unwritten rules. Get out of here.
But you did hear Keith Hernandez, one of the game's greats, say last night on the Mets broadcast, he hit three leadoff home runs in a row. You got to hit him.
But if you can't throw inside without possibly hurting the guy, don't go inside. Don't do it then. It's that simple.
Agreed.
Moronic comment.
Agreed.
By Keith Hernandez.
I don't disagree. All right, let's move on to the Chicago White Sox, who have an embarrassment of riches of top-end pitching talent. Dylan Cease acquired in the Jose Quintana deal. I know that drives Mark crazy. Michael Kopech came over in the Chris Sale deal. But there's a guy that they drafted and developed named Carlos Rodon. Merck, this guy's pitching like a stud.
he's been one of the best pitchers in the second half, and I think one of
in
the
all
biggest,
of the American League
without, in baseball. I think one of the biggest things for Carlos now is he knows he's healthy. He had the surgery, you know, last September, the arthroscopic shoulder surgery, and there's none of that lingering in his mind. He's just ready to go. And I think you saw a big moment for him yesterday. He had an 0-2 pitch against Candelario. It was pretty much center cut. They called it a ball. He hits him. They end up getting three runs. He told us after the game, in the past, he probably would have lost it, would have been out in three or four innings. He goes eight innings yesterday, and the Tigers don't touch him again. And you're seeing the maturation of a guy who, I'm not going to say ace yet because this is his first really healthy year since he was a rookie, but a guy who's a definite top of the rotation guy.
There was a situation in the Friday start before that. He had two outs in the eighth, exactly. And Arvaez reached for it. It was a catcher's interference. Nothing game at that point, Burke.
Yes.
Nothing.
Paul walked off. Yeah.
Paul got the walk-off homer. He walked around the mound, got himself composed, got back out there, and got the last out of the inning. And, Cap, I know you're listening to White Sox Weekly every week. You can check out the podcast, WGNRadio.com. He wants to be an ace. He wants the mantle. He absolutely that's something that he's been striving for.
I heard him tell, was it Harry Tynowitz did a great job on that podcast.
He did. Harry does do a great job.
His sliders is it may not be better than everyone else, but it's as good as anyone in the game.
This is a really positive story towards the end of the season.
Yes.
The White Sox haven't had a lot to be positive about this year, if we're not looking at the farm system. So that's why it's so good that you're finally seeing someone kind of develop while they're on the big league.
Okay, so I ask you this question. This team is going through a rebuild.
Right.
They're having a really rough season.
Right.
Probably lose more games this year than they did a year ago.
Be pretty close, right?
How far along are they in the process? Like, do you see 2019 they could be a contender? Do you see 2019 going, they're probably a 70-some win team? Where are they?
But isn't that hard to say because you just don't know how young guys are going to – did anyone see Milwaukee being as good as they were last year? I mean, I think everyone watched Milwaukee last year and kept saying, oh, good story. They're going to fade.
Same with the Cubs in 15.
Exactly. That's a great point. Their second half was lights out. They barely lost down the stretch there. So I think they have some, to quote Dave Wannstedt, some pieces in place to be competitive next year, but you just don't know. I mean, Yoan Moncada, a lot of talent, has not had a great 2018 season. Does that turn around and manifest itself in better production next year? So I think there are some guys where they can be more competitive. Are they a playoff team next year? Probably not that level, but they should be more competitive.
If they don't take a major step forward next year, it'll be a huge disappointment.
I agree.
I mean, I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, but they should be at least sniffing around 500, I would think.
Eloy comes up, Kopech's up. I mean, immediately the team's going to be more exciting to watch, and I think more competitive. Plus
they should have ability to spend money.
Yeah, right. And, like, think about it. The team now, guys like Yoan Moncada, is he bored? Is he not giving his all because they're on a bad team, last place? They've been out of it the entire summer. I want to see how someone like that develops when they're actually playing games that matter.
Boys, thank you for being here. That is a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Cubs and Pirates are up next. David Bodie getting ready for another special night, maybe. Have a great evening. I'll see you on the postgame show with Doug and David. We'll see you tomorrow at 5:30.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.